I want to read some scriptures. I want you to listen today to these passages from Psalm 132. And we're going to read verses 13 through 16 from God's Word translation. And I want you to listen as I read these and let these words just sink in. Sometimes it's good to hear. Just hear what God is saying. Listen to this. The Lord has chosen Zion. He wants it for his home. This will be my resting place forever. Here I will sit enthroned because I want Zion. I will certainly bless all that Zion needs. I will satisfy its needy people with food. I will clothe its priest with salvation. Then its godly ones will sing joyfully. Don't you love that? Some weeks back, we began this series in Isaiah chapter 2, by looking far into the future. Everybody say future. Isaiah looked beyond kingdoms. He looked beyond governments and generations. And at the end of the age, he saw Zion still standing. In Isaiah chapter 2, we read that nations were streaming toward the mountain of God. God's word was still being proclaimed. God's presence was still among his people. Everything around Zion had changed, but God's purpose had not. Now, in the Old Testament, Zion, I'm just kind of reviewing and stirring up our remembrance here. In the Old Testament, Zion refers to Jerusalem, the city of our God. But Zion is also a type and a shadow. It points us toward the church of Jesus Christ. In fact, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 24. I would love for you to take note of that reference there and read those passages in their entirety, because those scriptures speak of believers in Christ as having come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, the church of the firstborn. This is what those passages teach us. The church of the firstborn, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. Those are incredible passages for our understanding that Zion in the Old Testament is not only speaking of Jerusalem, but it is a type and shadow of the church of Jesus Christ, the church of the firstborn, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. Now, here in Psalm 132, we hear God's heart toward Zion. We hear God's heart toward Zion, toward his people, toward the church. And here's what God says: the Lord has chosen Zion. We read that together. The Lord has chosen Zion. He wants it for his home. And he says, this will be my resting place forever. Forever. That covers the future, everybody. Forever. My resting place. The Bible says, there remaineth therefore, again in the book of Hebrews, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. I love the rest that we find when we invite Jesus Christ into our hearts and into our lives, and especially when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. We enter into a place of rest with God that is incredible. and your rest or your peace might be disturbed. I want to say to you, there remains a rest for you today. And the scriptures encourage us to enter into that rest. Make sure that we press forward to enter into that rest. This will be my resting place forever. Again, in our text, actually twice, our text tells us that God wants Zion. He wants it. He desires it. His desire is toward his people. You are desired by God today. And then four times, God says, I will. In our text that we read together, God says four times, twice he says, I want Zion. And then four times, God says, I will. That is future tense. God is speaking and saying, I will sit, I will bless, I will satisfy, I will clothe. This is God's heart toward his people. This is what God is going to do. Come on. So our future, everybody, is amazing. God is not uncertain about his church. His purpose for his people has already been declared. In fact, John chapter 15, verse 16, the first part of that verse says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You're God's choice today. You're God's choice. We need to hear that. We're chosen by God, handpicked, selected. I love it. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, the first part says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. So God chose us, and then he loves us, not a temporary measure of his love. He says, I have loved you, I've chosen you, and I've loved you with an everlasting love. And then in Revelation chapter 21, it takes us right to the end of the scripture where God, at the very end of the Bible, we read that God is still dwelling among his people. So from beginning to end, God's desire is toward his people, and God still has so much, because of his everlasting love, he still has so much in store for his church. I will clothe, I will feed, I will satisfy, I will be enthroned, I will sit among my people. Listen, God has so much ahead for us. That's why we can stay fixed. This is part three of staying fixed for the future. Our future is amazing. Our future is awesome. And we're staying fixed for the future. Now, throughout this series, we've been observing people who are standing at moments of enormous transition. Abraham stood between Ur and Canaan. We've been in this series looking at individuals who have been standing at moments of incredible transition. We learned, in fact, that so much of the Bible is just a book of transition. It's God's people moving, God's people going from one place to another, God leading them, God bringing them into their place of fullness and blessing. And so we studied, Abraham stood between Ur and Canaan. Rahab stood between Jericho and an entirely new future. And now we're going to consider Joshua, who stands with an entire nation between the wilderness and the promised land. Different people, different transitions, but the same challenge. And here's the challenge. How do you move confidently into a future you have never seen? Different people, different transitions that they're going through, all facing the same challenge. And the challenge is, how do you move with confidence into a future you have never seen? Thank God for the presence of the Lord. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. The Bible says He makes crooked ways straight for His people. Amen. We can go forth in confidence that the Holy Spirit is going before us, that God is indeed going out before us. Of course, this series is extremely meaningful for us in this season. Last Sunday, what an amazing Sunday it was in our church. We heard about the significant transition that is ahead for us as a church. There's still much for us to process. There's still much for us to pray through. There's still much for us to walk through without fear. We will walk forth and forward in confidence, knowing that our God goes before us. Come on, a future that we've never seen, but yet we know that God is leading us and God is guiding us, and we stay on our faces and we continue to pray. We continue to look to God. As we go through the process, we have a confidence and an assurance, amen, that with God's leading, the road ahead is good, and we know that God is with us. In part one of our series, we learned that we can stay fixed for the future because Jesus is constant. We can stay fixed because Jesus is constant. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Though everything changes around us, Jesus is constant. He's constant in His desires toward us, in His love toward us. He is the head of the church. Amen. He is the firstborn of the brethren. That's what Hebrews 12 tells us. The church of the firstborn is His church. We are His people. We are His subjects. And He has so much in store for us. And so He is constant. And then secondly, we learn that we can stay fixed for the future because God's Word is our reliable guide. It's our reliable guide. His Word is forever settled in heaven. Amen? And I've learned that once I get the Word on the inside of me, I will also be settled. Because the Word is settled forever in heaven. And sometimes you have the jitters. Sometimes you just inside, you just maybe are feeling your stomach in knots or whatever, and you're just apprehensive. There's anxiety there. And I've learned that if I will just receive again and again His Word, my life, my heart, my mind will be settled because His Word is forever settled in heaven. Amen. Now today, at the beginning of the book of Joshua, Israel is standing at the edge of something new. At the very beginning of Joshua 1, Israel is standing at the edge of something new. Behind them is the wilderness. In front of them is the promised land. But there is a Jordan to cross. There are enemies ahead. There are battles that they have never fought. And there are circumstances that they could never predict. That's between them and the promised land. So three times in Joshua chapter 1. Now we're in a time, a season. Joshua's in an enormous transition, bringing an entire nation into the promised land after 400 plus years in Egypt and after 40 years in the wilderness. Now the promised land is before them, but there's a Jordan, there's enemies, there's all kind of negative issues and circumstances ahead of them. There's battles. There's actually 31 kings that are waiting for them, fully armed. And there's a lot going on here. And so three times in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua is told by God, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Why could Joshua be courageous? not because the road ahead would be easy, not because there wouldn't be opposition, not because Joshua understood everything that was about to happen. No, Joshua could be courageous because God had already declared his purpose. God had already decreed that he was going to bring his people in to a land flowing with milk and honey. Joshua chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, the first part of those verses, first from the NIV, "Arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, into the land that I am giving to them." And then the ESV says, "Every place that the sole of your feet or foot will tread upon, I have given to you just as I promised." So it's there. God's purpose has already been declared. God knew where he was taking them. God had already determined his purpose. The transition did not change the destination. The transition did not change the destination. The circumstances changed. The purpose did not. The season changed. The purpose did not. The leadership changed. The purpose did not. And that is where courage comes from. Courage isn't confidence that nothing will change. Courage is confidence that God's purpose will stand through every change. I want you to receive this today. We will be standing upon this word as we go forward together. Courage isn't confidence that nothing will change. Oh, listen, everything changes. Change is just a part of life. Courage isn't confidence that nothing will change. Courage is confidence that God's purpose will stand through every change. Has he not spoken? We sang about that today. Has he not spoken? Will he not make it good? So number three, we can stay fixed for the future because God's purpose gives us courage for what lies ahead. Scripture says that the purposes of God, many are the plans in the heart of a man, but the purposes of God will prevail. The purpose of God will prevail. We can stay fixed for the future because God's purpose gives us courage. Everybody shout courage. Courage for what lies ahead. "For I know," Paul said, "in whom I have believed, and that he is able." He is able. We sang about that today. He is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. Come on. God's purpose prevails. And because of the prevailing purpose of God, we receive courage. God's purpose gives us courage for what lies ahead. There is something deeply stabilizing about knowing that God knows what he's doing. There's something deeply settling when you realize and you come to know that God knows what he's doing. It just brings peace to your heart. Joshua did not have to create a future for Israel. He had to faithfully walk into the future God had already prepared. It was not Joshua's task to create a future for Israel. God had already laid the land before them. So Joshua had to faithfully walk into the future, which God had already laid out, which God had already prepared. I want to say to you, your future is bright. Your future, God is going before you. He's giving you courage today to faithfully walk, even though you can't see, even though it is not coming together, it appears for you. Oh, take courage today. God is not a man that he should lie. Hath he not spoken? Will he not make it good? "For I know in whom I have believed," Paul said. I know in whom I have believed. When you know that God knows what he's doing, even though around you right now it's not necessarily coming together as you thought or as you had planned, but God. I love that, Pastor Nelson, but God. And I love the second part of that statement. Paul said, but God, who is rich in mercy. Come on, he's rich today. Amen. So this is an important distinction. Joshua did not have to create a future. He faithfully had to walk into the future that God had already prepared. And that's such an important distinction. God never asked Joshua to control the future. He asked him to obey in it. So transition can change what things look like without changing what God intends. Transition can change what things look like without changing what God intends. Seasons may change, circumstances may change, and they will. But God's eternal purposes do not change with them. Seasons change, circumstances change, but God's eternal purposes are not subjected to circumstances that change or to seasons in your life, in my life, that change. Change does not mean that God has changed his mind. And when we know that, we can move forward courageously. God's mind is still toward his people to bring us into a place of strength and victory, to bring us into a place of fullness and provision in the name of Jesus. So change does not mean God has changed his mind. And when we know that, we will stand and move forward with a heart of courage. God's command to Joshua was, arise, go over this Jordan, go over this Jordan. Courage wasn't merely something Joshua needed to feel, it was something he needed in order to move. So many times we're just focused on our feelings. And man, if you're subjected to your feelings, when change comes, oh my goodness, you can be tossed like Pastor Nelson was trying to say earlier. You kind of feel like a termite in a yo-yo. You can feel that you're just, the feelings are fickle. Feelings, one day you're feeling amazing. The next day it's like, God, where are you? Are you here today? Anybody understand what I'm saying? So, courage wasn't merely something Joshua needed to feel. Now, it's nice to feel. It's a blessing to feel. But courage was something he needed in order to move. To move. Come on, there's a courage required to step into what is unfamiliar. There's a courage that is required to leave one season and enter another. To step into something that you've never walked this way before and it's not comfortable. You're out of your comfort zone. It takes courage. A courage required to obey God when you cannot yet see how everything will work. There was a promised land ahead, but there was still a Jordan between Israel and that promised land. And sometimes the evidence that we trust God's plan, the evidence that we do trust his plan is simply that we keep moving. We take the next step. And then we take the next step. We are confident that God is directing our lives, that God is directing this church, that God is going before us. And so we have the confidence and the courage to move. Joshua chapter 1, in fact, God's plan is that we keep moving. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, give it everything you have. This is the Message Bible. Give it everything you have, heart and soul. Make sure you carry out the revelation that Moses commanded you, every bit of it. Don't get off track, either left or right, so as to make sure you get to where you're going. And don't for a minute let this book of the revelation be out of mind. Ponder and meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. Then you'll get where you're going. then you'll succeed. I decree success over you in the name of Jesus. That you're going, getting to where you're going. It may be one baby step right now at a time, but I'm telling you, God is bringing you to that place that He has destined and designed for you to be in the name of Jesus. We decree it. God's instructions were not first practical, they were first spiritual. Before God gave Joshua military strategy, He established what would guide him. What would guide him? God was teaching Joshua something that we all need to learn. His future would be determined by what guided him. You see, opinions change, culture changes, governments change, emotions change, circumstances change, but the word of the Lord still stands forever. We learned from Rahab, God's word is our reliable guide. Joshua now shows us what happens when we trust that guide. When we trust that guide, when we trust that word, we have courage to move. And this brings us back to Zion. God says, I have chosen it. I want it. I will dwell there. I will bless. I will satisfy. Isaiah looks into the future and he sees Zion still standing. And I see you and I still standing. Come on. Revelation reaches the end of the story and we see God dwelling among His people. Come on, His presence will be our guide. His presence will lead us and guide us. His word, the psalmist said, His word will guide us even unto death. Come on, we know where the story ends. God has not changed His mind about His church. The world around us will certainly change, but none of these things have the authority to rewrite the purposes of God. None of these changes have the authority to rewrite God's purpose over your life. What changes around the church and even in the church does not change God's purpose for the church. I want to say that again. What changes around the church and even inside the church does not change God's purposes for the church. We are His people, ordained, set apart. Come on, we can stay fixed for the future. Number one, because Jesus is constant. We can stay fixed for the future. Secondly, because God's word is our reliable guide. Thirdly, we can stay fixed for the future because God's purpose gives us courage for what lies ahead. The future may contain things we have never seen. It may require things we have never done. The future may take us through seasons we have never experienced, but an unfamiliar future does not mean an uncertain God. Come on, give Him praise today and give Him glory. An unfamiliar future does not mean an uncertain God. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. That's the God we serve. God knows where He is taking His church. Therefore, His purpose remains. His promise remains. His presence remains. Therefore, we can be courageous and we can step into all that lies ahead of us with that assurance that God says, I will take you by the hand. I will take you by the hand and I will bring you in. Do you receive that word today by the Holy Spirit? Come on, this is a word to prepare us, to grant unto us the courage that we need to boldly embrace and to boldly move forward in all that God has purposed to bring to pass in the name of Jesus. You might be here today and everything in front of you is so hazy. It's just so challenging to see any distance ahead of you. Or perhaps there's voices that are just ringing on the inside of you that's producing fear or that's producing, you're just unsteady right now. I just want to pray a prayer over you. I want to pray a prayer over this church that we are rising and we're going over this Jordan. We're going into the fullness that God has for us, though we may not concede. I want to challenge you to just take one more step. Just stay faithful. Ask God to bring that word back to your remembrance that He's spoken to you. Don't let go of the word, because that word is what will produce courage in you. That word will remind you of God's purpose in your life and what He has intended for you and your family and your business. And so remind yourself, ask the Holy Spirit, bring back to my remembrance what has been spoken. And as you do, you hear that word again, and courage will arise to take the next step and to keep moving forward. Lift your hand if I can pray for you right now. If you're in that place and you need a prayer right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, look at every heart, every hand that's being raised right now. God, we come before you, you who have proven yourself faithful generation after generation. You have shown yourself true. And God, today we give you the praise and the glory that our lives are in your hands, that your purposes will prevail, that God, the voices of doubt and defeat, the voices of fear, I command those voices to be silenced in the name of Jesus. And we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking. We hear the word of the Lord coming afresh into our hearts today. We rise up and we decree and we declare that our God goes before us. Our God defeats our enemies. The purposes of God, they shall prevail. Lord, I thank you that that word is being received right now. I take authority over confusion. I take authority over chaos and chaotic issues and situations. God, right now, settle your people with the word of the Lord, and that courage breaks forth inside of us. I pray for us as a congregation, that as we embrace transition, as we move forward in what you have already purposed for this amazing church, God, I thank you and I praise you that we, your people, arm in arm together, we walk by faith. We move into our next, we move into this transition full of faith and confidence, God, that you are going before us, that you, Jesus, are the head of the church, and you love us and you have good things. You love us with an everlasting love, and we give you the glory. We give you the honor. So today we rejoice. Lord, our text says that your people will sing joyfully. The last part of the text says your people will sing joyfully, and I thank you for the joy of the Lord today and the song of the Lord that's coming out of our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost here. I feel the presence of the Lord here. And I know it's not about feelings, but it's nice sometimes. Amen. So take courage, everybody, and let's move into what God has. Everybody, let's go. For this week, excited about what's before us. We're staying fixed for our future ahead. And God bless you. The word of the Lord keep you. The word of the Lord surround you this week. God bless you so much.